You cannot accuse Lionel Messi of not turning up for the big moments, and that is exactly what happened on Sunday afternoon as Barcelona claimed the 1-0 win over Atletico Madrid at the Camp Nou. 8 points clear, Barcelona now of Atletico Madrid. And meanwhile, of course, while Lionel Messi is setting La Liga alight, the Champions League is turning back into view for Real Madrid and Cristiano Ronaldo. We'll get on to Tuesday night's massive game at Parc des Princes in a little bit as we break down this Marca's Eye on La Liga podcast into two bits. But it's Barcelona Atletico first. And joining me to talk that is Jason Pettigrove. How's it going, mate?
Very well, thank you, Mark. At least the snow's disappeared. We can get back to some sort of normality.
Yes, absolutely. Just saying to Jason before we started that our collective households have all been absolutely entrenched in the snow, and it was more rain, I would say, at the Camp Nou and elsewhere on the weekend. So Spain just about escaped the snow to make sure that the games were on this weekend, and 1-0 Barcelona. I don't know what to make of this game, really. Was it the chessboard, everything going in tactical manoeuvres, sort of thinking man's game that we thought it might be, or was it actually a little bit of a dull affair? Either way, Lionel Messi really took this game and made it his own, didn't he?
He absolutely did. I mean, that free kick, I think it was his third direct free kick in a week, different from the other two. I just feel a bit sorry for Atleti. I mean, I don't know if it was Diego Simeone's game plan to sort of sit back and soak up any pressure in the first half, but it certainly seemed to be the wrong game plan because it gave Barca the initiative. They obviously only got back into the game in the second half for about 20 minutes, but I think they only had one shot on target. So, you know, it was Barca's game to lose once Messi had put the free kick in. A magnificent free kick it was, up and over the wall. I think it was Costa and one other, jumped quite high as well. So it was a very difficult one to execute. Oblak obviously still not got a clean sheet at the Camp Nou, and he was at full stretch to try and keep that one out. And after that, I mean, it was the Messi show again, wasn't it? It's just, we run out of words to how to describe him, but if Barcelona do go on to win the league, it's definitely going to be Messi's league, I think, this season.
Yeah, 7 is the target for Messi in a way. 7 was the amount of free kicks he scored in 2015-16. He's currently on 6 for 2017-18. As you say, 3 in a row now, which he hadn't done before previously. We say about Messi, the opposite number, and you touched on how Atletico set up there, was Antoine Griezmann. And I don't know what really happened with Griezmann. He put in the yards defensively, but in terms of the creativity, in terms of the occasional chance he got to shoot, it was always wayward. And you say how Jan Oblak hasn't got his Camp Nou clean sheet. Griezmann still hasn't got his Camp Nou goal. And do you think this was a game that showed how he's not quite at that top level of world football at the moment that Messi, Ronaldo and maybe Neymar occupy? Or was this kind of, maybe if Griezmann was playing for Barcelona in this game and the exact same sort of level of performance, he would actually have enjoyed much more success because it would have been a more attacking display and that might have suited him more?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll answer that in two parts. He isn't at Messi, Ronaldo or Neymar's level. He's not far off it, but he's not there yet. But I sort of tip my hat to Rakitic, Busquets, Piqué and Umtiti, that sort of quadrant in the centre there, that they were sort of playing quite close together, and really Griezmann's kept quiet. I think if you look at his two games before Barcelona, it showed exactly, you know, how influential he can be when he's given the space and the time to execute, but he just wasn't given that space. Ditto Diego Costa. I mean, you would have said before the start of the game that at least one of the pair would have managed to have got on the score sheet, but both were kept very, very quiet indeed. And I think you have to acknowledge the job that those four players did, and really that the whole team did. Valverde got his tactics spot on.
Yeah, I really thought this was a game for the experienced heads, and as much as Busquets and Rakitic I thought were two of the best players on the pitch, certainly out of possession, I thought Coutinho and Sergio Roberto, two of the players that I didn't quite enjoy the performances of. How did you find Coutinho's performance in particular? Because he got on the ball quite a bit, but I think he's just a little split second behind the sort of mental processes that Barcelona need their players to be working at. Gets in the right positions, but Maybe it's the first touch is a yard too far off. Maybe he doesn't quite know where the other players are in the box yet. But this was a game, I think it's great from his perspective that Valverde trusted him and started him in the game, but he wasn't able to add his name to the score sheet.
No, and I think you have to recognise that he's only been there for 2 months. He's still very much feeling his way in. I think there's a tendency nowadays that when a team spends a lot of money, that the player's supposed to come in and perform, you know, from the very first minute, effectively. Coutinho is a good player. I think he will show in good time that he is a Barcelona player. I just think at the moment, perhaps they don't really, especially when Dembele plays as well, they don't really know where to fit him in. Obviously, Iniesta's now going to be out for a few weeks, so I think we know now where Coutinho is going to play for the next 3 or 4 weeks at least. And maybe longer term, you know, over to the left there is going to be his position. But I just think he needs to be allowed just to play his football, get his head down, work hard. And as you say, yeah, he might be a little bit off just at the minute. But I think once he, you know, has been playing with that group of players for, you know, a few more months, he'll be well up to speed with them.
Well, the key thing with Coutinho is that he's restricted to La Liga, and with an 8-point gap, as we mentioned, that might just give him a little bit of a... reduce the pressure, certainly. Might be able to do that for him as we move forward towards the end of the season. Atletico Madrid, then, we've spoken about how they set up. I'm going to compare it to the 2014 1-1 draw that Atletico came to the Camp Nou and took the La Liga title off of Barcelona with that Diego Godin header. On that day, Atletico had more shots. They had 12 shots to 11, and they had 36% possession. So we remember Simeone as always being this sort of manager who sets up in this way, maybe tries to nick the goal late on. But this time they had 6 shots to Barcelona's 16. They had a bit more possession compared to the back then, with 42% to 58%, which is probably because the second half was much more dominated. But I just felt like Atletico weren't as much as a threat as they needed to be early in the game. I thought they were passengers for a lot of that first half when Barcelona were, you know, completely dominant and did get the goal that won them the game. Did we maybe expect too much out of Atletico? Because we know this is how they set up. But even for that, we maybe thought that more was going to happen. I'm wondering if we shouldn't have actually expected any more to happen and that this was always going to be how they were going to play.
I'm not sure if I agree with that, Mark, to be honest. I mean, it's their biggest game of the season by a long, long way. And you've got to come out and attack your opponent. I mean, had they won, there's 2 points in it and a very realistic chance of Atleti, you know, obviously having the momentum for them to actually go on and perhaps overtake Barcelona. I think if he looks at it objectively, Diego Simeone will know that he perhaps started off with the wrong tactics, and by the time Atleti were allowed to get back into the game, it was sort of too little too late. And we must remember as well that I think for the last 25 minutes they had 4 strikers on the pitch. Gamero and Correa came on alongside Griezmann and Costa, and still they weren't effective. So we again go back to Barcelona's excellence as well as Atleti's reticence, I suppose. And I think that's what I find most disappointing, is that a team with such quality, and yes, we do expect a lot of Atletico now, and I think credit must go to Simeone for that, but to come out in your biggest game of the season and not really play the football that we all know they can play, that's very, very disappointing, and potentially it's lost them the chance at winning the league.
I think the thing for me that was most disappointing with Atletico, they took 85 minutes to get a proper ball into the box, to hit Diego Costa, to play off of Diego Costa. And I mean, 85 minutes in, they did get the ball across the line, but Costa was just about 2 inches offside as he laid the ball off to Kevin Gamero. So a great spot from the linesman. We criticised La Liga referees plenty of times, but that was a massive call that went the correct way, it's fair to say. Let's round off this argument talking about the title race as it stands. Barcelona, we now expect them to focus more on the Champions League. They're going to go to Malaga on the weekend before they play Chelsea. That's, you know, away to the bottom club, bit of a banana skin, lost there last year, but we still expect them to be able to rest players for that. The chances for Barcelona to mess this up are rapidly decreasing, aren't they? Do you think that maybe it's the away form against the lower teams? Maybe they've got to have Real Madrid come to the Camp Nou quite late on in the season. is there actually a clear pathway for Barcelona not winning this title now, or is it almost done and dusted?
I hate to use the cliche, but I'm going to have to. It ain't over till it's over. There's still a lot of points to play for. We've seen them have a little wobble. February seems to be quite an odd month for them, actually. I think if we look back over the last few seasons, it always seems to be about February time after the Copa del Rey and just coming back into the Champions League. Barcelona always seems to have a drop off in performance levels and obviously the points associated with that. You've got to make them very strong favourites at this point. But again, you know, they've drawn with Getafe. They've drawn with Las Palmas. Malaga isn't as easy a win on paper as it would seem to be. That they seem to be a bit of a bogey team for Barcelona. Potential for drop points there as well, with obviously Chelsea coming a few days afterwards. So I'm not actually sure whether rotation is an option in that game. But as the games sort of keep getting chalked off, if Barcelona don't lose, then there's every chance they're going to wrap it up with a few games to spare. But, you know, if they start to get injuries as well, Iniesta's out now, Piqué's struggling. We don't know, you know, what the real issue is there, whether he's going to have to be pulled out at any point soon. So there's still a chance that they could be caught, but it does mean Atleti have got to play a damn sight better than they did on Sunday and win three, with Barcelona losing three, just to make the status quo turn around from what it is at the moment.
One of the things that we probably should be keeping an eye on moving forward then is May the 6th, and that is, or May the 6th is the preliminary date. We expect it to be Sunday, May the 6th, when Barcelona welcome Real Madrid to the Camp Nou. If Barcelona can use that game to confirm a 9-point gap over Atletico or whoever it is that might be second at that point, they will win the league in the Clásico. So that is something to keep an eye on as we move forward. The first weekend of May is that game. And speaking of Real Madrid, we'll move on now, take a couple of seconds break and talk about their victory over Getafe and their PSG last 16 second leg. Let's kick off the Getafe win for Real Madrid then, Jason. A 3-1 triumph. The one was a bit dodgy in itself with a penalty that probably wasn't a penalty, it's fair to say, for Getafe at the Bernabeu. But Ronaldo with a brace, BBC back together as the old days, Benzema the middleman, Bale chipping in. Do you think that the BBC is the right way to go for Real Madrid, not only to go and get a goal at Paris on a Tuesday night, but also to hold out and make sure they keep the defensive record against PSG?
Well, I think, you know, all three are fit. Zidane has always said that if the three of them are fit, that they're, you know, unquestionably starters. So I think it's fairly obvious he will start with all three of them. And what we're seeing again, particularly from Ronaldo, it happened last year. He's coming into his own again at just the right point in the season. He's scoring for fun again. He's enjoying his football. Bale being back has obviously been a huge boost to him. You know, the movement that he's making down the side and sort of in between the lines. Benzema has even sort of upped his game a little bit from the last few months. He's pitching in with the odd goal or two. I think if they got an early goal, it probably does kill the tie. I think what's very important with this one is who gets the first goal on Tuesday. If PSG were to get it, then there's the atmosphere lifts and it gives them something to hold on to, a bit like Barcelona when they played PSG last year. If Real get it, I think that sort of kills the game. Yeah, I don't think we can read too much into the performance against Getafe, because frankly, Getafe were nowhere near the team that went to the Camp Nou and got the draw. They were very disappointing. They allowed sort of Real to come onto them. It wasn't a penalty, you're quite right. One of the worst decisions I've seen this season. But that does mean that Real have only kept two clean sheets in the last 15, again, one against Leganés and one against Alaves. So there's definitely potential there for it. You know, I think that's why this season teams haven't really been sort of scared of Real Madrid. They always had that aura last season that they couldn't be beaten, teams wouldn't score against them, whereas now you go to play against them thinking you're going to get at least one. So BBC, I'm sure, will have a say in the Champions League game. I guess, you know, the big question is whether he plays Toni Kroos and Luka Modric, because I think those two are going to be a huge miss in the centre of midfield if they don't make it.
I think the thing with the Real Madrid attack is that I can see, I mean, I think PSG scoring is something that we can all see, and it'd be a huge shock if PSG blank in this game. But I think it's very hard for me to see Real Madrid not scoring, even though PSG obviously beat Barcelona 4-0 at the Parc des Princes last year. I just can't see Real Madrid not getting one goal, and that's maybe why I can see this game maybe being a 2-1 or 3-1 win for PSG, which would obviously not quite be enough for them, depending on how extra time and whatnot would go. You mentioned Luka Modric and Toni Kroos then. They trained on Sunday, so it's going to be a massive roll of the dice if Zidane does play them, because they've been out for 3 weeks with muscle problems. This isn't like they've just had a bruise that has calmed down, or like a wrist injury. This is a fundamental injury that if it gets worse, I mean, that would be their season over. Of course, if Real Madrid lose, that would be their season over as well. So it might not be so much of an issue in that case. But, I mean, would you risk them? Do you think it's worth risking? Because Mateo Kovacic would be the player who comes in. It looks like he's set to play the role that he's done a number of times before. But the last time he played, it was in the Clásico against Barcelona in December. He had a terrible game, let's be frank. Barcelona walked all over him. I think if PSG are going to set up a route to victory, they would have that Clásico game as something they would basically mirror and target Kovacic in the way that Zidane may be getting a little bit worried about, and therefore risk a Modric or a Kroos.
Yeah, I think to answer your sort of first point, I think he has to put them in if they're sort of even 80% fit. You know, I appreciate that it does pose a huge risk if they're either injured in that game or later on, but you know, this is every Champions League game for them now is a final, to coin a phrase. So if you're playing in a final, Real Madrid always play their best 11. They're in the squad. I think he will pick them, and I guess up against Pete, I think it's Lassana Diarra is probably going to play. I think I read in L'Equipe or Motta.
Yeah, Diarra or Motta is the one decision that Emery has to make for this game.
A 32-year-old and a 35-year-old. So someone like Kovacic actually getting at those two would probably be better. But I think Kovacic is the way he plays, as you said in the Clásico, it's his defensive frailties, I suppose. Even with Casemiro in there, Barcelona just going straight through the middle every time, and that is the template that PSG would follow. So I think, again, coming back to the original point, I think he has to put Kroos in there, he has to put Modric in there, all his eggs in one basket, and then just hope for the best.
As we approach kickoff there, we will be revealing the team as quickly as possible after, of course, Real Madrid reveal it. So that means, I mean, that would mean no Marco Asensio, no Lucas Vazquez. The way I see it is that those two players are the ideal players to have off the bench for that game. It's not attacking enough. If Real Madrid needed a goal, I'd start Asensio. If Real Madrid knew that down sort of the left-back area, that was where a lot of the danger was going to come from. If PSG had Marcelo, I would play Lucas Vazquez because he can man-mark the left wing-back and do a good job there. But PSG don't have a great left wing back. It's going to be Dani Alves is the right back, but the wingers are going to be much more of a threat in the central midfielders than from the full back area. So I'm not sure I play Vazquez either. So I wonder whether you think it's worth maybe sort of flicking around the system and putting those in, or is ultimately the experienced heads, BBC, etc., the better way to go?
I think he will go with experience. He has to. It's now their biggest game of the season. Whether he tinkers with his setup, when they played PSG last time, it was a 4-3-1-2 with Isco sat in just behind. So I think you take Isco out potentially and bring in Bale. He probably changed that into a 4-3-3. And I think it will just be on the day, you know, whoever sort of stands up and brings their A game to, again, coin another phrase. You've got Mbappe, Cavani and Di Maria. Let's not rule out Di Maria in this game. He scored 11 in 11, I believe, in 2018. He's absolutely on fire. So although Neymar is out, it might not be such a bad thing for them. You know, Di Maria will playing against his old team. What's that, you know, football fate will dictate that he gets at least one goal. But he's still a decent player. He's not a Neymar, but he'll understand how Real Madrid play. He'll know where the pockets of space are going to be. And, you know, Cavani could do with a goal or two in the competition just to, you know, give him some more confidence. I think the one thing actually about PSG that concerns me, and it's always concerned me, even if we go back to last season against Barcelona, I'm not sure if they believe themselves that they're good enough. You know, they want to be in the European elite, that more so since they've been taken over by the Qataris. But Emery is almost the perfect manager for them, in the sense that the belief system, just, they never go out in these big games and they're really firing on all cylinders. Whereas you get a team like Real Madrid, like Barcelona, that have absolute belief that they're going to go through and take the game to their opponents. PSG don't often do that. So that if they can, you know, come into that game on Tuesday with a really sort of fiery atmosphere. We did an article on Marco in English about PSG allowing the ultras into the stadium to really crank up the atmosphere. If they get that early goal, then they have to be positive. They can't sit back and defend and then hope to hit another one on the break. They have really got to go for it, every single player. I think if they can do that, they've potentially got a chance.
We'll get a prediction from you just to round off this discussion. And I do think my controversial opinion of this is that Neymar being absent could actually really help PSG in a large sense. I mean, if you look at Barcelona and how they've reacted since Neymar has gone, they've got a lot more balance now. And if you compare PSG having Di Maria compared to Neymar, I think, as you say, Di Maria is on such good form at the moment. He's a real dark horse going into this game. And I completely agree that he could well get a goal, and football fate does set up that way. And Kylian Mbappe is a doubt. Mbappe, his ability to show himself as a big game player is obviously the jury's out, let's say, but he's a doubt, so we'll see whether he comes in. And then, as we sort of mentioned earlier, it's down to Thiago Motta or Lassana Diarra to hold the anchor man position for PSG. Prediction time then. I'll save you the ignominy of going first, and I'll say that I think that this game, I mean, PSG, I just think, are going to beat Real Madrid. But the question is, will it be enough? And I think it's either going to go 3-1 all the way to penalties or 2-1 to PSG. And I'm going to say 2-1 to PSG. They'll win, but Real Madrid will get a goal that will kill the atmosphere and kill a lot of the PSG momentum. And ultimately, that will take them through.
Yeah, you've stolen my thunder, because I was going to say pretty much the same thing. I think I think Real Madrid will get the early goal. That will completely deflate things. We know Real come out of the blocks from the first whistle, and that's when they try to do a lot of the damage in the first 10 minutes. I think they'll get the early goal. I think PSG will win 2-1, but again, it just won't be enough, and another year goes by without them getting any further than, I think, the quarterfinals.
Yeah, just the fact that this is a last 16 tie just shows that the stakes are so high. Because no one wants to go out in the first knockout round. I mean, Basel are going out in the first knockout round. You'll be as good as them, in effect, certainly, Real Madrid finishing second in their group. So, Marca in English is the place to have all the previews, all the reports, all the quotes, all the reactions, absolutely everything you can need for Real Madrid versus PSG on Tuesday night, March the 6th. The only place to be. Keep an eye on that. And thank you for listening to this episode of Eye on La Liga, and thank you for joining me, Jason, to talk these two games.
Thanks, Mark. See you soon.
And we'll be back next Monday. Maybe we'll sneak in a quick review of the Real Madrid PSG game if it absolutely goes off. But otherwise than that, we'll be back on Monday to talk more La Liga. Thank you for joining us.